Thank you, Chrissy. Yeah, it works. Thank you. Oh, I get to take my mask off. I'm sorry for you guys that don't get to take your mask off. But, you know, it is nice to be able to do that because then I can talk the way I want to. You know, we saw that video, and the video was hilarious, listening to all those people talk about their resolutions. Do you know what January 19th is? Nobody knows. It's called Quitter's Day. When everybody decides it's time to quit their resolutions that they probably shouldn't have said in the first place. And if it's usually it's between there and the first part of February. For me, I never did really do a lot of resolutions. And so for me, it was January 2nd. I just was not very good about doing resolutions. And when I thought about when I did give resolutions, they were like bad resolutions, like these guys were. Some of them were too complicated. I had too many steps to take. Some of them were just that, you know, I found out that I really didn't want to do that. One of the big ones when I was a kid, a little guy, I was, unlike a lot of other kids, I was always the smallest in my class. Shortest guy, the lightest weight guy, and always looking up to all the other bigger boys that were there. Part of the reason is I started a year early. But a resolution I had was, Lord, or I didn't say Lord back then, but let me gain 5 pounds, just 5 pounds, you know. A lot of people were looking the other way, but I wasn't because I was this little bitty guy. And you know, did I gain 5 pounds that year? No. Did I eat any differently that year? No, I didn't do that. Did I exercise trying to gain 5 pounds? No, I didn't do that either. It didn't last very long. And we didn't have a lot of food around the house anyway, so it was kind of hard to keep up with that. But we all, or not all of us, a lot of us do not set resolutions because we failed at it so many times. And so we don't want to keep failing year after year after year. So we don't do that. Some of us that do, that are very good about making resolutions, you know, they make a resolution and then they make a list. How can I make this resolution come true? And so they make a list. If I'm going to gain 5 pounds, that means I need to eat a little bit more. Have some good food, some veggies and some good meat and stuff like that. And, you know, they make a list that'll help them. My dad, he was a very small person too as far as weight goes. When he went to join the Navy in 1940-something, whatever it was, he went down to the recruiter, and they really liked him, but they took his weight, and he was 6'1" or 6'2", and he weighed 125 pounds. And just, you know, little guy. And they said, no, you're too small. In weight-wise, you have to go home, and you have to gain some weight. And so he did. He went home and he ate bananas. I don't know why he thought bananas, but it did help him gain weight. He went back a while later and they let him join because he had finally gained some weight. The difference between my dad and I, you know, he was already had 4 kids and, you know, he didn't have to worry about that stuff. So I guess I take after my dad in a way. Not that some of the things I really liked about him, but, you know, I did. So if you make resolutions, think about the resolution and think about how you can really make that thing happen so that, you know, it does happen. Let's pray. Dear Grace Heavenly Father, I just want to, again, thank you for this day that you have given to us. Thank you for this church that as you have put here. Thank you for the members that are here with us today, and then thank you for the many viewers that we have out there that are watching and intently listening. I just pray that you would be with Dean as he is on vacation. Pray with both Dean and Becky that you will give them a good time so that they can relax and just you know, get out of the harried life that we have sometimes with our pastors as we put everything on their shoulders. Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would be here today. Lord, use all of us, not just some of us, but use all of us so that we can glorify and honor your name. And we will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the things that even way back when I thought about was, and kind of a resolution was, not gaining weight, not doing things. But right after I accepted Christ as my Savior, I asked him, Lord, put me in your will. Help me to understand what your will is for my life. Help you to give me strength, Lord, that as difficulties come up, I rely upon you. And help me to understand the many blessings that you have blessed all of us with, and to be able to tell other people about those blessings. You know, whether they be our kids, our friends, our neighbors, so that they understand and have a way with coming to know you. One of the things that that I was privileged to do as many years ago is the Gideons came and actually called me on the phone and asked me if I would like to go to a dinner and eventually join the Gideon ministry. Well, everybody knows, or not everybody knows, but some people know that I did join the Gideons, and I've really enjoyed the Gideon ministry. One of the things I liked about the Gideons was, as everybody knows, we hand out Bibles. And you know, that is such a privilege to be able to do that. But the other thing we do, which I love to do, and most of you know that I like to do it, is I like to tell people about Jesus. And I like them to know what I know. And sometimes, you know, I get to travel all over the place to do that, and all over the world to do that. And it is a blessing to be able to do that. But not every time when you share are people going to come to know Jesus. Do you know what 6.7 means? It's the amount of times that you will tell or that somebody will hear about Jesus before they accept Jesus. Now, I don't know where they get the 0.7 at, but about seven times they're going to hear the message before they receive Jesus. So we are out there and we need to be telling people about Jesus. You may be number one, or you may be number two, or you may be number seven, to where they finally do accept Jesus. Some people are very privileged as they the first time. When we're out there, and when I'm out there, one of the things that I have to remember is it's not me doing the talking. It's not me that's doing the preparing. I'm saying the words, but the Holy Spirit is working through that person before I even get there, putting circumstances in their path. They're going to open up their mind to accept the message that we are telling them. So one of the things that I thought about as I was talking this, a good resolution for everyone would be to be able to tell one person about Jesus Christ. Can you do that this week? Or this month? Just one person. It sounds easy, but you know it's hard. Because we have this fear in us. It's a built-in fear. I know it's a fear that I have of when we tell somebody about Jesus, they're not going to accept it. Well, you're part of that 1.7. So don't worry about it. You're doing what God wants you to do when you're telling people about Jesus. It doesn't have to be a big message, a long message. In fact, when I'm going to the schools and all of those other places we get to do, is the Gideons have told us to be able to give the message in less than 12 minutes. Now, a lot of you know that I'm kind of a long-winded feller. For me to do that is almost impossible. There is so much to tell, and it is so important. But when I was back in Ghana, I had a gentleman from Alabama that was with me, and he said, I'm going to time you. I don't like to be timed. I look at the clock, and I don't even like the clock that's there. But he said, I'm going to time you to see if you're following the rules. Well, I'm not a big rule follower, but I said, okay, you know, we can do that. And the first one was about 20 minutes long. And, you know, I kind of said, well, I guess I messed up just a little bit, huh? And he said, well, you know, you got the message out. And that was the important part. When we got done with Ghana, after 2 weeks, I had the message, did make the message down to 12 minutes. But I felt like I wasn't telling the whole message. And so, you know, I did it the one time, but I eventually went back to doing it in about 15 to 20 minutes, somewhere in there. I felt really comfortable being able to do that. But when you give out the message or tell people about Jesus, there are several things that, you know, people are going to object to your message. They're not going to like it. And they're going to say, I don't believe that, or I don't like that. And so you have to be prepared. Again, like a resolution, you are prepared, you know, with an answer when they tell you about that. And in 1 Peter 3:15, it tells us that we should be prepared. Now, I'm not a Bible scholar, and you know, I don't do real good on memory verses, but I do some memory verses. And so I've looked through this list, and they give us a list of 36 objections. That's a lot of objections. One of the objections, they say, I know God, or I've always believed in God. And I taught college for a while, and a lot of times when people say stuff that isn't entirely true or has another meaning to it, is I just stand there and look at them. And sometimes I'll go, okay. And then I'll ask them, usually a question. When I'm witnessing somebody and I talk to them and they say, I believe God. And I said, yeah, so do I. So what? And they look at me and I say, do you know that in James 2, in verse 19, it says, even the demons know God, believe, know Jesus. So are you any better, any worse, because you know God? No, it doesn't really do anything to know God. You have to accept Jesus as your Savior. If they say something else, they say, I'm a good person. You know, a lot of people say that. You know, I bet he says he's a good person. Don't you, Davey?
No,
you're not a good person? Yeah, you was a good person because you used your guitar to help you and Judy sing songs. So you're a good person. I'm a good person. There's a lot of good people that are out there. But, what's the but? But, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, what does it say? I don't know. I got to look it up. That's one of the things when I'm out there witnessing to people is that we all have tools. And one of the tools that we have is a Bible or a New Testament. And so I try not to give my opinion, or I try not to state from memory exactly what that Bible verse says. And I try and carry two Bibles with me. One is the one that I'm going to use, and one is the one I want them to use. So I open up my Bible, and I ask them to open up their Bible, and so I know exactly what I'm reading. And so I'm going to do that real quick. I thought I had it marked, but I probably do, and am nervous enough that I can't read it. 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And all I have to do, Ruby, I wish you'd drop your mask so I could see your mouth moving and read your lips while I'm doing it. And not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, when I'm talking to people like Dave, school teachers an awful lot, excuse me, Dave, is that I'll ask them at the end of the presentation I give to the kids, I'll ask them, you know, why? And they'll say, I'm a good person. And I'll say, yeah, so what? Sometimes I'm a little I shouldn't say those things, but I do. Yeah, so what? Is that going to get you in heaven? And they say, well, if I'm good enough, yes. And that's when I say the And I said, let's turn. So we do. We turn into Ephesians and take a look at that. And then I ask them, are you good enough? Are you saved by grace? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And most of them will say, no, but I'm good enough. And I, what did we just read? You know, it says, for by grace ye are saved through, not works, through faith. And then they'll say, well, what is faith? And I'll say, faith is in belief. Do you have belief in Jesus that he is who he says he is? And then I'll ask them, do you really want to go to heaven? Or, and with teachers, I'll say, do you want to go to hell? If you want to go to heaven, you need to accept Jesus Christ. For in John 14:6, it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then they say, oh, I want to go to heaven. I want to. So then you find a quiet spot without 300 kids around and you sit down and ask them, would you accept Jesus as your personal Savior now? And most of them do say, yes, I do want to do that. So, you know, that is part of what we do that's out there. But that's an individual thing. Now, a lot of you have probably done that a time or two too. At least I hope you have. But one of the things they talk about is, oh, you know, I have a good friend. I think I'll bring him to church. And you leave it at that. And you let Dean stand up here and talk to him. And Dean is very good at the end of the message about giving people an opportunity to call. But we don't have to leave it to Dean. In fact, we should do it beforehand so that they can follow up with the knowledge that they have been given by Dean, the greater knowledge of knowing Jesus as their Savior. It is our obligation. It is our obedience to God that we do that. So again, how many of you would at least like to tell one person about Jesus? You can't fail. You know, God has told you you're not going to fail. You are telling that person about Jesus. Now, where do we do that at? You know, it's I've talked about it quite a bit with our Bible study people. Is that when do you tell people about Jesus? You know, sometimes you can tell it in the grocery line, although that's not a very good place to do it because, you know, it's so crowded and people are talking and all that kind of stuff. And especially now that we have to wear a mask, you know, half of them can't hear you anyway. So, you know, it's not a good place. But what do I do besides do Gideon work and some stuff like that? What do I love to do? Most of you guys all know. What do? I'm a fisherman and a hunter. And so I use those opportunities to be able to talk to people about Jesus. When I'm down there on the beach, is it usually I'll find somebody that maybe I haven't seen before or somebody that I've seen and know and are pretty sure they're not a Christian or don't have beliefs. A lot of times you can tell by their communication that they're maybe not in touch with God the way they should be. So I'll go down there and talk to them and ask them, you know, are you having a good day? And that's a good way to get started. You know, just how are you doing? How are you feeling? You know, what's going on in your life? And maybe if they tell me, you know, things aren't going so good, and I'll ask if I can pray for them. And I'll pray for them, and then I'll start in, you know, do you have any spiritual beliefs? In the book, Share Jesus Without Fear, is that they give us five questions that we can start a conversation with. And that's one of them, is that do you have any spiritual beliefs? And sometimes they'll say yes, and sometimes they'll say no, and sometimes they'll say, yeah, I go to church, and, you know, all these other things that people tell us. But, then is it allows me to, if they say, well, I go to church and I pray and you know, I ask my priest to pray for me and go to confession every Sunday, then we get it opens a door so that I can start talking to them. And like I say, I like to use two Bibles so that they can read. A lot of fishermen don't carry a Bible with them, so it's pretty easy for me to be able to do that. And as with the Gideons, is that I always have access to those Bibles. And so we'll sit down at a conversation and listen for the bell to go off. And of course, if the bell goes off, that means there's a fish on the end of one of our poles, and we got to take a little short break to be able to make sure that we get that fish in. Because that's why we're down there. So I use those opportunities. One of the opportunities that I talked to one gentleman with is that he said, he started talking to me, and he was quite the fisherman. He said, well, what do you do besides fish? Because they had seen me down there quite a little bit. And I said, well, I'm retired, so, you know, I don't care what day it is. Every day is a Saturday, and I don't care what time it is because I'm just a retired guy. And he said, no, what did you do beforehand? And I told him I was a forester, fought wildland firefighting all over the United States, but I was also a college teacher. And he said, oh, what did you teach? And of course, it was mostly forestry and wildland survival and stuff like that. And I said, but when I first started doing this, I did not like to talk to people. I didn't want to talk to you at all. And he said, really? And I said, no. I said, I was a shy little boy and man and didn't like to talk to people. I was a loner most of the time. But then I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and he gave me a gift. And one of those gifts was to be able to communicate with people. And he said, no, that wasn't a gift. I said, yes, it was a gift. I said, you know, when I was little and younger, I did not like to talk to people and stayed away from most people. He said, but now God gave me a gift. I didn't have it before I accepted Jesus, but I have it now. And it is a gift that he's given to me, and I want to use that. And we argued for a little while about gifts because he wasn't a Christian and didn't understand that God will give us stuff. He said, no, God gave you a talent. And I said, well, yeah, you know, I'm a good fisherman and a good hunter, and that's a talent. That's not a gift. But the gift that God gave me was in communication and evangelism. Did I lead that person to Jesus? No, because we communicated quite a little bit about that God could give you a gift and that he would surround you with his love. And he never did believe me. In fact, that's the last time I ever saw him. He never came down fishing another time. I'd seen him lots of times before that, but he never come back. I don't know if he was worried about me or what, but never saw him again. That's been like 4 or 5 years. I keep looking for the guy to see if he will come back so I can communicate with him some more. But never been there. So, you know, you talk to people about Jesus. And you ask them what are their beliefs. Now I put a lot of into Ephesians because I really like Ephesians and you know the fact that we are saved by grace through faith. But some of the other questions, your little responses you'll get is a Christian hurt me, hurt you physically or mentally or whatever. And I said, you know, we need to pray for that person that hurt you. But why should that stop you from going to heaven? That shouldn't stop you. It is a personal relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. It is not a relationship that somebody else has. And then other people have said, well, cults are the answer. And that really kind of, you know, makes me actually a little irritated. But, you know, I have to control myself that I don't get angry with them, because if I get angry with them, then my message will not follow through. But I say, well, what cults are you talking about? And, you know, they'll talk about different organizations. I said, how has that helped you? How has the cults really helped you? And they'll go into some of the stuff. And I said, but we have a bigger and better helper that's here. And it's not, it's something that has been here forever. And then we'll go on and talk about how Jesus helps us, how he lives within us, how he can guide us, and he is through us in every step of the way, whether it's an illness or whatever else we have. So I use those ways of opening up a conversation with them. One of the other ones that you hear a lot is, God can't forgive me. And you hear that a lot. And yes, God can forgive you. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, on this earth to die for our sins. What other cult or what other religion talks about that? He forgave us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not die, but have everlasting life. What other organization or religion says that? I know one time I was standing in a hospital, just in Indonesia, and got done handing out Bibles to all the people that were in there and praying for all the sick and all the hurting people that were in there. And as I left the hospital, there was two young ladies standing out there. And one was a Hindu and one was a Buddhist. And I said, kind of asked, well, how are you doing? You know, and they had some things. I said, well, do you know God? And of course they said they knew God. But I said, do you know the God? And they kind of looked at me strange. And I said, everybody need to know about the God. And so I told them about my God. And they listened really intently because, you know, for the first time they had heard that there was a God that loved them. And I said, would you like a Bible so that you can read more about God? And of course they took that Bible. And before I even turned my back to head to the car, I could see them intently reading that Bible. You know, they stopped right there and opened it up to some of the scriptures that I told them and read those scriptures. That's why it's important to be able to read to them. How do you know that you have enough faith? Do they have faith? You know, do you rely upon the Bible as your guide? Because God will help you and God will guide you. Now, sometimes when you're witnessing to people and sharing Jesus with people, you know, you can watch their face intently and you can see if they're grasping what you're telling them. One of the things I try not to do is that I remember I was down in Mexico. And we were down in there and we were evangelizing in this small city that was there. We were doing a school and there was quite a group of us that were there. And one of the guys was talking and they were high school kids. And this kid, high school boy, was asking a lot of questions and a lot of what I called meaningless questions, trying to start arguments. And I walked up to the man that he was talking to and I said, you know, you need to control the conversation a little bit better. You need to bring it in to contact with what you know and what you can do. And I said, do you have a Bible so that you it can help you? And he didn't have a Bible because he wasn't a Gideon. He was another member of our organization. And I said, you need to bring out a Bible. And then this boy knew just enough to use scripture out of context. And so using the Bible and allowing that to be your guide, then you can control the conversation. And when I left him, he was still arguing with the little boy. And he was a smart kid, so he knew a lot of questions that you could answer and that were just taking up time. And I knew it right away, and so I said, you know, I'm gonna go talk to another person, which I did. One of the things that I do, and it's not entirely what everybody else should do, but I always tell them that in 1 Peter in 3:15, John 14:27. You know, when I accepted Jesus Christ back in 1969, wasn't it, Ruby? Someplace like that. I was in high school, so it was right about then. We didn't have a baptismal at the Old Grace Baptist Church, and so we had to go to the Christian church in order to have baptism. But I remember going over there with Pastor Fast, and I'm sure Ruby was there, and was baptized. And one of the things I felt was a peace that came over me. And it was just a contentment. It was a joy. And so in John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I felt that peace. And I have felt that peace since then. Is that it is something that the world does not understand. They understand a peace, but they don't understand the peace that Jesus, that God is going to give to you. And you say you know God, you say you know Jesus. Do you know that peace? Do your friends know that peace? Do the people you're talking to know that there is a peace out there that they can't understand? You can tell them about it. You can tell them how it feels in your life, but do they really understand? And so when I talked to them and when they asked Jesus, I said, "Do you feel that peace now in your heart? Has that peace come over you? Do you allow Jesus now to rule your life?" And I go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." And that's what most of us do. We try and lean on our own understanding, but allow God to give you that peace. Allow God to give you that understanding. Every time you have a big decision in your life, I hope you pray and ask God, "What do you have for me?" There's many times that I've done that. I'm sure you've prayed. Many jobs that I thought I really wanted. And in my heart, I really wanted them. But I said, "God, you know, if it be your will, let me have that job. But if it not, you know, it's not. I know you don't want me in that area." One of the big jobs I wanted was in Baker City, Oregon. It was a really nice forestry office. The hunting was great. Fishing was pretty good. And there's lots of fires and lots of activity around there. And I thought I wanted to go there. And I gave one of the best job interviews that I ever gave. And I thought, "I've got it." Well, I got the call a couple of days later, and I didn't get it. But, you know, I could have been really sad. I could have moped around. I could have did a lot of things. But I thought, "Okay, God, you know, you don't want me there. That's fine. You don't want me there. I don't want to be there either, because I want to be in your will. I want to understand your peace." I had God's peace that he gave me. I just understood that was going to be the way it was going to be. So, again, make a resolution that you're going to talk to somebody this week, this month. Don't put it off till next week, next month. You know, talk to somebody about Jesus. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. Tell them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. Tell them that he rose on the third day. Tell them that it's by grace. Nothing you have to do. You have to just ask him into your heart today so that they can know that peace that's there. It is really easy. The more you do it, the easier it gets. The more you put it off, the harder it gets. So if you start as soon as you can, start today. Find somebody. I'm sure we've all got friends that are non-Christians. And start a conversation with them. Doesn't have to be anything hard. So today, I'm going to ask. I know most of you out there are Christians, have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but I'm sure that there's some in the audience, in the listening, that have not done that. So I'm going to ask you, if you are not a Christian today, would you accept Jesus Christ today based upon, for by grace ye are saved, through faith? If you don't think you understand, just ask God to put that faith in your heart, put that trust in your heart so that you can be a child of God. So let's bow our heads. Dear Grace Heavenly Father, again, I just want to thank you for this day that you've given to us, O Lord. Lord, I know that there are lots of people out there that have never accepted Jesus as their Savior. Lord, I just pray that if there be any that are listening today and they want to have the peace that only you can give to them, they want to have the assurance that you are there for them. We want to have the assurance that we will be children of God. So Lord, I just pray that today that you would put your faith, your trust in them, in him, as we go on about this crazy new year. Lord, thank you for blessing us so many times with all the good things that you have given to us. Lord, we will give you the honor and the praise and the glory for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.